Now, if you're living with sight loss, I'm sure you'd agree that the option to online shop for groceries is a fantastic option. You can order online and have it delivered to your home. But there can be some pitfalls, as Paul Quigley found out, and he joins us from Manchester now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Simon.
Now, Paul, we've known you to have the odd problem along the way, but you had a bit of a problem with your online shopping, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I ordered online groceries each week from Tesco. Other brands are available, Sainsbury's, Morrison's, etc. However, in my particular case, I ordered from Tesco, and normally they're very good. And the reason why I say that is because normally when you order sort of 20 items, bread, cheese, eggs, milk, etc., they all arrive and everything's fine. However, I ordered my usual groceries from Tesco.com. They arrived as usual, and the driver, who's very kind, they tend to bring your groceries in and they put them on the kitchen counter. And then you sign for the items and off the driver goes. And that's the experience. It's normally very, very, very straightforward. However, on this occasion last week, what happened was that the driver came in with one crate, and it's normally two crates, and I didn't think anything of it. And he put it on the side. He said, "Where shall I put these, sir?" I said, "If you don't mind putting them on the counter for me." He said, "Yes, that would be fine." So he unloaded his crate and put all of my groceries on the side and asked me to sign for the assignment, and off he went. And it wasn't until about 5 minutes later that I thought, hold on, I'm short of a few items here. There's no bread, there's no ready meals, there's no bacon or whatever. And I was stuck, and I thought, oh Lord, what am I going to do? How can I actually, you know, there wasn't anyone that you could phone up in the system, in the usual system process of things with Tesco or others, to actually make a comment or a complaint that you're short. However, in my particular case, I was fortunate. I did have the mobile number from one of the Tesco drivers from about 3 weeks prior, where he'd phoned me up on my mobile and said, "I think I've over-delivered to your address. Can I come back and collect something for Mrs. Johnson at number 23? And I said, "Yes, fine." And he came back and he picked those stuff up, and that was the end of that story. So I retained his number in my phone. So I rang up the driver, and he wasn't the one who delivered to me. He was another one in a completely different part of where I live, but he was able to ring through to his duty manager at base and get in touch with them, to get in touch with the driver who had delivered to my address, who was then supposed to be alerted. In the meantime, the driver had noticed that he had under delivered to my address, and he came back. And so fortunately, the duty manager didn't have to raise him on the radio, because those devices they use that they get you to sign with are also radios as well, so they can communicate with those, just so you know. But the upshot of this is that I had a conversation with the manager at Tesco after all of this and said, "I really think that Tesco and your other competitors should have a special situation for disabled, visually impaired people in particular." And we'd had a little conversation about how much time they would save if they actually arrived at the site of the customer and actually counted out the items, as in, here's an inventory, bacon. They'd literally check it off as they put it on the counter for the blind or VI person. This is the conversation we had, rather than, and that would take 3 minutes, I think we worked out roughly, to read down an average list, rather than spend the 30 minutes where a driver has to be alerted and come back to the customer and rectify the problem. And the time they would save was actually, and the good customer relations that they would actually have for people with disabilities, and, or, you know, the Equalities Act, basically. I was thinking, I had the whole Equalities Act in mind. I was thinking, well, they're not really, you know, there's no special needs here for people with VI who wouldn't have seen. And if I hadn't have had this driver's number, I don't know who I would have contacted, and I'd probably have to have gone online, and that's impossible for me. It would have been an absolute nightmare, because I have to do everything verbally over the phone. So it would have been a nightmare. So I think we did get a resolution, and he said he would take that on board and escalate it up through his management, the line management at Tesco, to get some sort of process improvement so that drivers are trained that when they are dealing with disabled people, and particularly VI people, not just obviously VIP, but, you know, people in wheelchairs have problems, but also the people that can't see lists, you see, like we can't see a list and cross-check it, so that the time they spend and of course the distress that it causes, because, I mean, if we're out of milk or some essential items, it can be very, very stressful for people like myself and other people who are blind, visually impaired. We can't just get out to the shops willy-nilly, so that it is absolutely a lifeline for us. So it is very important. So I think we got a result there. I will keep you appraised and updated of the progress with that, because it's an ongoing situation. And obviously, if it improves next time and the time after, then we'll basically see. And I will certainly keep pushing away at that to make sure that we get some equality for people who are ordering online, Simon. And yeah, that's as far as we got with that one. So I was quite pleased, really, with the result.
And it shows the power of just having a discussion sometimes, you know, not going on reading the Riot Act and saying, well, this is a Equalities Act and you're breaking the law.
Yeah,
just saying,
yeah.
You know, because a lot of these things just are a lack of awareness, aren't they?
They are. And they just, I mean, it's all very well to rant and, you know, have steam coming out your ears. It doesn't work because, I mean, how does the company or the individual involved know? They don't know how it is to be blind and VO. They haven't got a clue. And so they could be, and they are, they're really willing to help. So you have to explain how it is. So you have to bring them into your world of how it is to be unsighted and what particular challenges you face, you know, before and after, where a sighted person can check off a list. You know, and then they have to say, well, close your eyes and pick up that piece of paper in front of you. Now you tell me, have you got bacon and eggs? And they go, oh, well, I don't know. Well, like I said, exactly. That's how it is for us. So that's how it is. So when we get our consignment, we don't know exactly. We have to take it on trust that we've got what we ordered. We have to, because that's all we've got. So if the driver has misstacked the items in his truck and he's pulled out the wrong, we don't know. We'll never know until an hour later, the next day, whenever. So that's why it's important that if you know you've got a disabled customer, VI particularly, visually impaired, then you make sure that Mrs. Johnson, she's blind, she can't see, she's got 36 items. I will count out 36 items. It'll take us 3 minutes, but it'll save us 30 minutes when she phones in or whatever, if she does spot the error half an hour later. We have to send Fred back to do it all over again and get it right, because obviously then it's good customer relations. Because if you keep getting it wrong, where's Mrs. Johnson going to go next time? She's not going to go to Tesco. She's going to go to one of the competitors. So it's actually a competitive business, you know, it's a profit thing, isn't it? They will make more money out of doing this right than by getting it wrong. And it, as you say, if we explain, you know, rationally and calmly to them how it actually is for disabled people, who, as you said at the beginning, absolutely find this service fantastic. There's no complaint about that. It's a brilliant idea. And when you spend over a certain amount of money, it really is economical. It's much cheaper than doing it in a taxi, for example, if you spend more than a certain amount of pounds to do it that way. And it's absolutely fantastic. And it takes a lot of the stress out of living with visual impairment, because you don't have to get down to the shops every however long and fight through the queues with the disadvantages we've already got, which makes it doubly horrible. So to actually have it delivered to your door is fantastic. But these are just wrinkling out the little wrinkles, so to speak, of making it absolutely spot on. And of course, then word gets around and everybody will want to do it, and they'll make more money in the long run. So it's actually good business sense for these supermarkets to do it this way. So listen to me, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Morrison, we know what we're talking about. We'll make money for you.
And as we say, they do try and help us out and do things the best we can. How do you find actually shopping online then? How do you find that with where you've got no sight now?
Well, you don't do it that way. You do it over the phone, don't you? Actually, order. I mean, you actually memorize it. I mean, I think what a lot of people without a visual impairment don't realize that we have to have memories like elephants. We really do. We have to literally have it's the same with phone numbers. You have to, and national insurance numbers, credit card numbers. You have to memorize these numbers yourself. So you have to have phenomenally good memories of knowing exactly what you order. And then once you do it a few times, like I think you get onto autopilot. So it's literally all from memory and it's all done verbally. In my particular case, I'm sure there are people who are partially sighted, probably, who can navigate and use, you know, screen readers and stuff to do it online. But in my particular case, I can't. But I mean, you know, that's how it's done. You know, everyone, each to his own. Every case is different with an eye condition, as you know. Every single one. There's not two people are the same. They all have differently. Even in one, in a field of vision issues, some people have slightly more. And you can't assume that anyone's got the ability to have the acuity to look straight at a screen and see it. A lot of people, like with AMD, age-related macular degeneration, once your macula goes in the center, that's it. You can't see a screen at all. You're onto screen readers. And if you're no good with tech, or if you get a tech problem and your PC doesn't boot up, you're stuffed, basically. So you can't even rely on tech in this modern age, because who'd you phone? You know, you can't. You've got to commit it to memory. That's the way I, you know, navigate around these sorts of issues.
So what do? You phone up Tesco's then, and you speak your order?
Well, you do it once, basically. You've done it. Once you've done it once, it goes into the system. You don't keep doing it over and over. You have it there. There's a template then, isn't there?
Have you got a cup of coffee then, have you?
Yeah, would you like one?
Can I have a biscuit, please?
Yeah, I certainly can. Would you like to nibble on my ginger nuts?
And incidentally, before you go, you know that lamppost that you keep banging your head off that's been knocked at an angle? Has anything happened to rectify that yet?
Funny you should say that. On my way down to the gym just last week, I was walking down the street and I was being a white cane warrior, and I put my hand out to the left and thought, this is where the Lidl is. And it was upright. The council have responded. We have a result. The lamppost is now perpendicular. No more head banging.
Have you responded to them to say thank you very much? Appreciate that.
I have. Yes, I have.
Fantastic. I think all these little things help, don't they?
They do. They do. And you've just got to keep chipping away. It's, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You just got to raise these issues when you come across them. And little by little, the message gets through and it makes the whole world a safer place for everyone to navigate. So if we are supposed to be independent and mobile, then there are fewer bits of street furniture around that we can clash with. And I think it's everyone's responsibility. Even if you cite it as well, if you ever see a lamppost that's bent over like that, please report it to the council. They will respond. It might not be the next day, but they will do it. And they do have a duty of care to the public to make sure that that is rectified. So always phone the council, please. It helps us all, doesn't it?
And I also think, though, we have to always be cognizant of the fact that councils across the country are really stretched as well. So, you know, we can put a complaint in and it doesn't happen immediately. Well, that's not ideal. But the fact that it has been attended to is something to be appreciative of, isn't it?
It certainly is, Simon. And I think with the cutbacks with the central government and the austerity that we've all experienced with social care, et cetera, for the last 10 years since the 08 crash onwards, yes, they are very, very stretched. And the fact that there's still anybody still out there doing any of this work at all is a small miracle, quite honestly. I mean, the VI teams in a lot of councils I know have been slashed to the core. Some of them have been done away with or have been amalgamated with, you know, hearing loss social services. So, yeah, there's a lot of strain. And I think that, you know, obviously we have our own political views on how that should be in the perfect world. But you're right, you know, these sorts of little things that they can rectify for us as a community helps everybody, yes.
Well, that was a good result. Nice to get a story with a good ending.
Yes, Simon. So I think there was an absolute result on that. And I'd like to thank Tesco for their listening to the problems of VI people such as myself. And it certainly goes a long way. And I hope in the future this problem has been ironed out. And if there are any other issues, it'll be new ones that we can iron out so that other blind and visually impaired people can also have a great experience with their online shopping companies as well. Yes.
And a little tip, if you're waiting for a delivery just now, why don't you suggest that to your driver just to perhaps just check them, what the items off as they come in. And perhaps they already do that. We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch here. It's radio@rnib.org.uk. And you can get in touch with Paul Quigley directly as well via social media.
At www.twitter.com/hellsbells, hellsbells_UK.
So, before you go, I want your best Scottish accent.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to RNIB Kinetic Radio with Simon Pauly.
It's not bad. Speak to you soon, Paul.
Cheers, mate. All the best.